Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of BlackBox Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company and may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Varma, Whole-time Director and CEO of BlackBox Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. On behalf of BlackBox Limited, I extend a warm welcome to all of you to our Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. I'll begin by sharing an overview of our business performance, the evolving industry landscape, and the strategic progress we have made during the quarter, after which our CFO, Mr. Deepak Bansal, will take you through the financial highlights in greater detail. A couple of months ago, during our Capital Markets Day, we shared an important milestone in BlackBox's journey. We spoke about how the transformation that we embarked upon over the last several years had largely been completed, and that the next phase of our journey would be centered around growth, scale, and disciplined execution. As I reflect on the first quarter of FY27, I'm pleased to say that we have made a strong start on both fronts, financially and operationally, reinforcing our confidence in the road ahead. Financially, we have delivered our highest-ever quarterly revenue, supported by improved execution of the rising order backlog and the contribution from our recently acquired Brazilian entity, 2S. The quarter also saw our order bookings of $339 million, taking our order backlog to a record ever of approximately $950 million, up 83% year-on-year, and providing strong visibility for future growth. Equally important, we made significant operational progress during the quarter, adding a new global hyperscaler in the United States through a $131 million, about 1,240 crores order, while continuing to deepen our relationship with our existing hyperscalers. These wins are a strong validation of the capabilities and scale we have built. I'm proud to say that BlackBox is the only India-origin digital infrastructure solutions company currently executing gigawatt-scale data center programs, demonstrating the scale of capabilities it has built to participate in accelerating global AI infrastructure build-out. To understand in detail why we are increasingly confident about our long-term outlook, it is also useful to step back and look at the broader technology landscape, because what we are witnessing today is far bigger than a normal technology cycle. We are in the midst of one of the largest digital infrastructure investment cycles in history. This is not a short-term trend driven by single technology. Rather, it is structural transformation powered by artificial intelligence, cloud computing, networking, cybersecurity, and next-generation digital infrastructure that is expected to reshape industries and economies over the coming decade. Industry estimates continue to move higher. According to Gartner's article published in July, global enterprise technology spending is expected to exceed $6.4 trillion, up 14.2% year-on-year, including $822 billion on data center systems alone, a whopping increase of 62.5% year-on-year. At the same time, leading hyperscalers, including Google, have increased its budget to $190 to $205 billion for FY26 in its current earnings, released in July, double from last year, and so have other large players followed suit. Within this landscape, BlackBox participates across nearly $250 to $300 billion of addressable opportunities spanning data centers, enterprise networking, connectivity infrastructure, cybersecurity, managed services, digital workplace solutions. Importantly, a majority of this spending is occurring in markets where we already have strong positions, particularly in the United States, where nearly 60 to 70% of spending is targeted. What makes this investment cycle particularly compelling is the convergence of multiple long-term technology trends. AI workloads are driving unprecedented demand for compute capacity. Enterprise networks are being modernized through high-speed connectivity, edge computing, private 5G, Wi-Fi 7. At the same time, cybersecurity is becoming increasingly mission-critical as organizations strengthen digital resilience. These trends are creating sustained demand across the very capabilities that BlackBox has been building over many years. Today, BlackBox participates across a sizable addressable market spanning data center, enterprise networking, connected buildings, cybersecurity, managed services, and digital workplace solutions. More importantly, a significant portion of this investment is taking place in markets where we already have deep customer relationships, particularly in the United States, where we continue to maintain a strong presence. However, the size of the opportunity alone is not enough. Success in this market increasingly depends on the ability to execute at scale. As hyperscale projects become larger and more complex, customers increasingly prioritize execution capability, scale experience, and the ability to mobilize skilled resources quickly across multiple locations. Winning these engagements is no longer simply about offering at lowest price. It is about demonstrating consistent execution on mission-critical infrastructure. This is precisely where BlackBox enjoys a meaningful competitive advantage. Over the past several years, we have deliberately invested in strengthening our execution capabilities, expanding our leadership team, and building a global delivery platform that can support large-scale infrastructure programs. We continue to hire and train talent at scale, with plans to onboard nearly 2,000 professionals, ensuring that we have the resources required to support our customers' long-term growth plans. These investments create significant barriers to entry and position us favorably as customers increasingly consolidate spending with trusted partners capable of delivering at scale. Equally important is the strength of the customer relationship we have built over the years. We work with leading hyperscalers, Fortune 500 enterprises, financial institutions, healthcare organizations, manufacturers, global technology companies across more than 35 countries. Over the years, we have built and become deeply embedded within many of their mission-critical environments, and we believe this trust creates significant opportunity to expand wallet share as customers increase investments in AI-led infrastructure. Alongside strengthening customer relationships, we have also continued to improve the quality of our own business. Over the past few quarters, we have consciously rationalized several low-value, long-tail customer accounts while increasing our focus on larger strategic enterprise. This approach significantly improves the quality, visibility, and profitability of our revenue base over the long term. Our objective is clear: go deeper with strategic customers rather than simply becoming broader across smaller accounts. The strategy is already translating into increasing business momentum, particularly in one of our most important growth areas. The momentum in our data center business continues to remain particularly encouraging. We continue to see healthy customer demand across AI campuses, hyperscale infrastructure, enterprise modernization, networking, and managed services. Encouragingly, supply chain conditions have also improved over the last quarter, particularly across cables and fiber, supporting faster project execution and a stronger pace of backlog conversion going forward. Taken together, these developments reinforce our confidence in the long-term roadmap that we have shared during our Capital Markets Day. As we highlighted during our Capital Markets Day, our aspiration is to build BlackBox into an 18,000 crore or US dollar 2 billion revenue company by FY30. Around 12,000 crores of this growth is expected to come organically, supported by strong execution, conversion of our robust order backlog, sustained demand for AI-led digital infrastructure, deeper engagement with strategic customers, and improved project integration. The balance 6,000 crores is expected to come through inorganic growth, leveraging our proven M&A engine, successful integration track record, and a healthy acquisition pipeline. The recently completed Brazil acquisition, which adds approximately US$50 million in annual revenue, represents another meaningful step towards this objective. This ambition is supported by four growth pillars: hyperscale digital infrastructure, GSI Americas growth across India and rest of the world markets, and evolution of our technology product solutions business towards recurring and platform-led revenues. These pillars are reinforced by a strong execution excellence. Overall, the first quarter has further strengthened our conviction that we are well positioned to execute on this roadmap. We believe FY27 is not the beginning of our journey, it is the beginning of the scaling phase of our journey. We enter this year with a stronger business, a healthier balance sheet, expanding customer relationships, and multiple long-term growth drivers working in our favor. With that, let me now hand over the call to Deepak, who will take you through the financial performance in greater detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Sanjeev, and good morning, everyone. Sanjeev has shared our strategic progress and the strong industry fundamentals supporting our business and the tailwind what we have right now. Let me now take you through our financial performance for the first quarter, the operational progress we continue to make, and our outlook for the year ahead. Over the last 3 years, our focus has been on building a business that can scale profitably and sustainably. Our transformation has centered around five priorities: strengthening the balance sheet, improving profitability, disciplined capital allocation, simplifying operations, and building a scalable operating model. Today, the quality of our business is fundamentally stronger, providing us with a solid platform to capitalize on the opportunities ahead. A key outcome of this transformation has been the improvement in our customer portfolio. As Sanjeev highlighted, we have transitioned from a fragmented customer base to approximately 300 strategic accounts, including hyperscalers, enabling greater wallet share, stronger revenue visibility, and healthier margins. This has significantly improved both the quality and predictability of our revenues while positioning us to execute larger multi-year engagements. Against this backdrop, we have started FY27 on a particularly strong financial footing. Q1 of FY27 was one of our strongest quarters, as we reported highest ever revenue of rupees 1719 crores, representing a 24% year-on-year growth. EBITDA increased to 160 crores, up 38% year-on-year, while profit after tax grew to 56 crores, an increase of 18% over the corresponding quarter last year. The quarter also includes 2 months of financial consolidation from our Brazil acquisition 2S. Equally encouraging was the improvement in profitability. EBITDA margin expanded by 90 basis points to 9.3%, reflecting operating leverage, a better business mix, disciplined execution, and the benefits of the structural initiatives implemented over the last few years. While we continue to invest in our sales organization, engineering capabilities, and delivery teams, operational efficiencies through our Global Capability Center in Bengaluru, AI-led productivity initiatives, centralized delivery, procurement discipline, and stronger project controls continue to support margin improvement. Our medium-term objective remains to consistently operate at or above a 10% EBITDA margin while maintaining healthy returns on capital. The healthy demand environment that Sanjeev spoke about also continues to translate into a robust order pipeline. Demand across our core businesses also remains healthy. We continue to see strong customer spending across AI-led digital infrastructure, data centers, enterprise networking, managed services, and cybersecurity, giving us confidence in the sustainability of our growth pipeline. From an order book perspective, we continue to witness healthy customer demand. During the quarter, we secured orders worth $339 million. Our backlog continues to reflect the progress we have made. Since the beginning of our transformation journey, it has increased by 83% to over $950 million at the end of quarter one of FY27, with a growing share of large multi-year and mission-critical infrastructure programs. The tenure of our data center engagements now ranges between 24 and 36 months, providing strong revenue visibility and improving the predictability of our business. While the industry opportunity is significant, our focus remains on converting that opportunity into profitable growth, healthy margins, strong cash generation, and long-term shareholder value. Cash flow continues to remain a key management priority. For FY27, we expect our operating cash flow to EBITDA conversion to improve meaningfully over FY26, supported by disciplined working capital management. Our capital allocation philosophy also remains unchanged and continues to focus on long-term value creation. We will continue to invest across three priorities: strengthening our people and technology capabilities, supporting the working capital requirements of our growing business, and pursuing selective acquisitions that enhance our capabilities and geographic reach. The acquisition of 2S reflects this disciplined approach. In addition to strengthening our presence in Brazil, it expands our capabilities across networking, cybersecurity, and managed services while providing a strategic platform to participate in the broader Latin American opportunity. As with every acquisition, our focus remains on disciplined integration and realizing long-term synergies. Based on the visibility we have today, we remain confident in our outlook for FY27. Our guidance for FY27 is as follows. Order backlog, we should end on March 31, 2027 at $1.4 to $1.5 billion, which is a growth of 65 to 75%. Order bookings in the year, we should do between $1.3 to $1.4 billion, which is again a growth between 45 to 50%. Revenue, we should do between 7,800 to 8,000 crore, which is a growth of 23 to 27%. EBITDA, we should do between 700 to 725 crores, which is a growth of 27 to 32%. EBITDA margins will range between 9.3 to 9.4%, which is again up by around 30 to 40 basis points. Profit after tax, we are expecting between 325 to 350 crores, a growth of 38 to 50%. Historically, quarter one has been a relatively softer quarter for Blackbox. We expect stronger revenue conversion and operating leverage in the second half of the fiscal year, with this momentum supporting the delivery of the FY27 guidance outlined in our presentation. Assuming normal execution timelines and no significant customer-led delays, we believe this guidance is achievable. Going forward, we will continue to prioritize profitable growth, disciplined capital allocation, operational excellence, and balance sheet strength. Supported by a healthy order backlog, improving customer quality, and favorable industry tailwinds, we remain confident in our growth outlook. Blackbox enters this next phase with a stronger financial foundation, a disciplined operating model, and a clear roadmap towards our aspiration of building a US dollar $2 billion business by FY30 while creating a long-term shareholder value. Thank you. And with that, I would now like to hand the call back to the operator to open the floor for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Deep Shah with 360 ONE Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. And Sanjeev and Deepak, congrats on great set of numbers. A couple of bookkeeping questions first. If you could highlight the organic revenue growth, given that 2S was there from 1st of May, that is one. Second, so I appreciate the comment that you made on in your opening remarks about cash flow improvement. Now, you also explained in the past as to the accelerated investments that you have to make leading to a benign cash flow relative to EBITDA. So if you give some more color as to maybe a ballpark figure where you expect this to be or the causes why you expect this to improve, given the order backlog suggests that we will actually have to make a lot more investment this year. And is that assessment correct? So that's second. Third, if I look at our order backlog and say for a moment I exclude projects which would be longer term in nature, I still see a 38% kind of increase in our order backlog if I look at managed services, maintenance contracts and products, which is of course very small. So my question here really is that do you think you are being slightly conservative when you guide on 27 numbers, or is it that you're expecting a lot of growth to maybe start in 3Q and 4Q, and which is where the numbers will flow in 28? These are my questions. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. So I will start taking one by one. So the organic revenue, so out of the total 1,719 crores of revenue we have done for this year, the inorganic, which is that 2S, has contributed around 60 crores of revenue. So all the balance revenues are inorganic, are all organic revenues. So 60 crores came from the 2S Brazil acquisition because it was like a 2 months and first quarter of them, which is basically the June quarter is normally weak for them because they are into a networking and the Cisco partners and all those things. So they contributed 60 crores. On the cash flow side of it, one is that I'm talking about the operating cash flow. When I'm saying operating cash flow is basically that there will be involvement in the working capital and all those stuff. But from an investment perspective, our investment in the talent, our investment in the people and all those things to secure these type of order book and to increase to convert the pipeline into orders and to hiring the, let's say, the best world-class people and all those things, that is largely done. We will continue to obviously hire more people and all those things. But right now, it looks like that from operations, our cash flow will be positive and then the cycle of the cash flow will automatically pick up with the growth what we are looking at in this year. On the the order backlog side of it, you are absolutely right, Deep, is that most of the growth is coming up with all the execution of these projects by let's say end of the quarter three and quarter four, and it will spill into the next year. So the growth will spill into FY28 with the order backlog what we have, because see, a lot of execution is also dependent on the customer. We have received, like, let's say this order what we have announced, we have received that order from another hyperscaler. Now that order, we are talking since so many days, and the work on the ground, the hiring and all those things will start, but the work on the ground will start only from November onwards. So then again it will scale up. So it is not like that you receive the order and you start working tomorrow, because these are not smaller orders, smaller contracts. They are large sites. They are gigawatt plus sites. They are not like smaller sites. So there is a lot of deployment and all those things which happens on that. So because of that, the growth will be growth when we will project about FY28. You will see that there will be a growth over the current year. So let's say current year, if we grow between 22 to 25%, or let's say 25%, then the next year growth of FY28 will be over and above those numbers. And that is why it doesn't look like very, very conservative to us in terms of the numbers what we are projecting at between 7,800 to 8,000 crores.
Yeah, this is very clear. So actually, you've answered my follow-up question to the extent that you clearly suggested that the reason this year numbers aren't conservative is that some of the order backlog, or rather a large part of order backlog, would actually flow in 28. Is that assessment correct? I'm just asking for absolute clarity.
Correct. That is correct. And that is why when you see our order backlog, when we have given a guidance for order backlog, that is, we are saying 1.3 to 1.4 billion. And that is why we will end up with that order backlog. I may say, and probably Sanjeev will add more on that, the order backlog may be a little bit conservative because we will add more orders between let's say November, October to March, when we will burn these orders what we are getting right now out of the 950. So probably that number may be higher, and then we will be having a more clarity after when we announce the quarter two results, and then we will see that how we can have a more clarity and more speaking on that.
Great, Deepak. Very clear. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Vivek Chauraria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sanjeev and Deepak. Nice to chat with you.
Hi, Vivek. Hi.
I just wanted to touch on the non-data center part of the business, because most of the growth that we are talking is coming from that piece. Is the non-data center piece sort of just treading along, or are we expecting growth? Or is it a case that we're classifying some orders as a data center order? I just wanted some clarity on that.
No, I'll take that. No, so clearly the hyperscale cycle is larger at this time. The non-hyperscale enterprise will grow at modest double-digit 10% odd. Combining, we are putting at 25% odd at this time. The cycle for the enterprise wake will follow. The data center infrastructure is not being built to be consumed on its own. The impact of the data center infrastructure would come through a lag. When the infrastructure will start to dramatically change downstream, airport infrastructure, hospital infrastructure, bank infrastructure. So this is being made for them. This infrastructure is being made for what? Being made for drive efficiency, experience for end users like you and me and our workplaces, right? So we're beefing up, seeing large-scale projects also coming through in our infrastructure on the enterprise side. For example, when we do data center infrastructure for a bank, that's a bank business. That is not a hyperscale gigawatt. That's 10 megawatts, 20 megawatts. Still large. Many years ago, it was 2 megawatts. So it will have that. The entire network infrastructure to connect will change. A case in point, just to give you an example so that you'll understand, if the head-end changes, if you were to see a 4K HD video, you need a device downstream that will support that. So if the head-end changes, which is in this case is a massive infrastructure for data center, the consumption actually, the inference is happening at the end user, passing through an airport, getting into a hospital, going to a consumer store, ordering food, it is coming, right? So we are bullish on that as well, but it will come through a lag. So a standard double-digit growth on that side, maybe 10%. We are focused on 300 customers, as we have Deepak called out. But we are catching the hypercycle on the AI build-out. And we expect that to move forward, that we will see our momentum on the enterprise also catch up with a lag.
Sanjeev, just a word on the TPS business. I mean, our growth, our revenues have jumped up, but so have the EBIT losses. Is it a matter of scale after a point at which we'll start delivering positive numbers?
No, so our product business also, we're expecting in the current year to be able to grow in the range of 20-odd%. It's a matter of scale. We are again narrowed down or focused on only mission-critical infrastructure in that space. We are doing a lot of products we inherited through historical. So we are now focusing on visualization products, which we call KVM, our Emerald product, and we are seeing strong momentum. We will see through in the coming quarters the spike in that as well. We're investing in next-generation AI-led products in that space. So yes, to that extent, I expect the growth this year catching up ballpark around 20% range, still lagging our overall growth plans, but highly accretive. But as we move from there, every dollar that comes in as we move into next year and year beyond will become accretive overall.
Just one last question, Sanjeev. I mean, the growth that we are projecting, the Q2, I mean, the ask for the H2 will be almost like a 30-40% growth year on year and even quarter on quarter. Are we confident? Because we've been talking about some delays in execution. I mean, what gives us the confidence that Q3, Q4, we should start delivering? I mean,
so no delays. So no delays on execution from that perspective. Enough backlog coming at the opening of quarter one to push through, to push us through. If you calculate the order backlog plus the booking goal and the revenue projections, the math will work out. So we're expecting to grow each quarter sequentially, year on year, going forward.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Nandan Arikat with JM Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, team. Congrats on a great
set of numbers.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Congrats, team, on a great set of numbers. So my question is on margins. We expect to end the year at 10% EBITDA margin, and I think we have given a guidance of 9.3-9.4%. So does that mean maybe Q2, Q3 we'll see slightly depressed margins, and then we expect the operating levers to kick in? And also just a thought on what will be the gross margins you're building in for the data center orders.
So I'll take that. So I think our goal remains 10% and over. That's what Deepak called out. So as we look at the overall year, we expect our, as we move forward, Q4 to be in that range or more. But we also continuously are looking at, as we scale this business up in the current year with the order backlog, we are looking to invest in talent and training. We're getting into a very large scale build out of multi-billion dollar backlogs. This project execution also requires some investments in training. So we are being cautious on that. But having said that, at scale, we expect that we should be able to deliver at 10 or more. I think it's better to factor in what we are planning to invest, and therefore guiding where Deepak had guided at about 9.4-9.5% at this time. But I think we'll even focus on that to get to 10% at scale, more than 10%.
Got it. That was clear. Okay. On the order backlog, right, so currently I think the blended average we have indicated it around 18 months. So based on your the pipeline and what will get executed and what do you see coming in the next few quarters, what do you expect the average tenure would be by the end of this year?
So the tenure for large-scale projects, Deepak alluded, is about 24-36%. I had told earlier the goal for this year for order booking, and that's showing in our current forecast as well and guidance, is 50% more than the last year ballpark in the range of 1.4-1.5 billion. So that's what we are planning to book, and we are well on our track to do that or exceed that this time, right? To earlier point that Deepak said, some of these orders require pre-planning from when they start to burn into revenues. So yes, we will end up the year after you do the calculation of where we opened up and book and take about 8,000 crores. We'll open up a very, very healthy backlog that will possibly cover the growth for next year pretty much from the backlog itself, it'll be very, very evident. Right? So, yeah, from a data center margin perspective, I think it remains accretive for us at this time. As I said, I think we continue to focus on our operating margin for 10%. At scale, we believe it will be equally accretive, if not better.
So, congrats and all the best.
Participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Mohammed Namir with Eco Quantum Solutions. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have just one bookkeeping question about the tax rate. Our tax rate is currently low, and going forward, what will be the tax rate?
So tax rate currently is lower primarily because of our past operating losses, carry forward operating losses we have in the various geographies. So so its tax rate is dependent on the revenue mix on the different geographies and the consumption of the past operating losses in terms of how we consume them. So at least for next, let's say for FY27 and FY28, I am expecting it to be in the range between 10 to 15%, and after that it should regularize to around 20% type of levels.
Okay, one more question about the other income part. The other income is negative. Why is it so?
Sorry, what is negative?
Other income. I think other income is negative.
No, it is. It doesn't look negative to me. It is. Wait, let me look at it. I didn't saw a negative number on the other income. Other income is 4 crores positive.
Oh, yes, I don't know. Thank you so much.
I don't know where you're reading, sir.
No. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Vivek Seth, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity. My query is that yesterday you received the order for from a hyperscaler, AI data center order. So just wanted to know how much of the order is your integrated products and how much of the part is the service part?
No products, 100% services.
100%. Okay, thank you so much.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Keshav Bharadia with Walford Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers and thank you for the opportunity. So just one question from my side. Since a lot of our growth plans hinge on the hyperscaler and data center segment, by any chance, if there is some moderation at the hyperscaler's end in terms of data center capex, does that put us at a risk of order cancellations or, do our growth plans change in that scenario?
Good question. So I think the overall scale of spend is gigantic. I think the overall spend for the AI infrastructure over the next 4 years is about 1.6 trillion, an average 400 billion, and each time one of the hyperscalers comes out and announces the results, they add up the capital expenditure. So I think we are taking over a very fairly small slice at this time of that from our within our addressable market within that that we have, right? So we don't see on our current conversation, the current pipeline. On the contrary, we are seeing speed with respect to new projects getting announced at this time. So can something dramatically change? I know I wouldn't be wanting to predict that. But from our current conversation of across multiple hyperscale co-location customers within a hyperscale, the multiple sites within the hyperscale, multiple geos, we are seeing what's happening in India. The advantage, of course, for Blackbox means that we are present with customers not only in one market but other markets. We have not started to even harness the markets in India, which we are planning to do. So I don't see from our perspective, our growth will getting hampered. Should there be a shift of a hyper A or hyper B or some site getting delayed or some site getting revamped, I think we're talking about a massive spend. And to that extent, I think our goals are well set from that perspective. And as I told earlier, we expect also this hyperscale to start to fire downstream enterprise spend, because everything around that place will change, be it the network, be it connectivity, and so on and so forth. So we'll possibly get into a cycle of a dual engine starting fiscal 2028 and beyond. So this is a structural shift cycle. This is not a technology spend, just a buying compute. This is how economies will operate. This is about keeping economies ahead. So overall, when we calculate that, and where we want to play and what is our goal of going forward of being at $2 billion, I think we're well placed and we are well on track.
Great, sir. And just a follow-up to that. So we see a lot of CapEx happening in India as well, with the tax holiday and many global hyperscalers also coming here. So have you explored any opportunities here? And as well as, is there an opportunity maybe on the semiconductor side, because you see a lot of CapEx happening here in Southeast Asia as well. So is that potentially a segment we could tap into in the coming years?
Yes, that's a good question again. So yes, we keep on evaluating the markets and the spend. Of course, India will go through a hyper-investment cycle. We are seeing that as well. But even if we look at the current build-out, U.S. is currently at 67, around that gigawatt of already being commissioned and used, going to 233 gigawatt. India is going from 1 to 5 to 6 at this time. So naturally, from a spend perspective, 70-80% is around in the U.S. So we'll continue to remain focused in the U.S. of scale. We have built a team around those capabilities, but we continue to look at markets, and that's the advantage for BlackBox. So as that starts to mature, we are into Europe at this time in conversation. We are looking at India's potential as well, clearly interested as much to see where it can add value and be accretive for us from a shareholder perspective. Opportunity, of course, has no meaning until you can create a profitable opportunity from that perspective. So we are clearly glued in, reformatting ourselves to see what we can do in India and the Asia market and so on and so forth. Coming on the semiconductor side, now we are looking at not being a semiconductor manufacturer or builder from a perspective of being a partner on the compute side. From a perspective of the overall stack for technology, we are connectivity, network, compute and storage is a natural extension for us. We continue to do that for enterprise customers. Hyperscalers are a little different. So yes, there is an opportunity. As a management team, we continue to evaluate the adjacencies. It is adjacent to us. It can open up an additional addressable spend or TAM for us. So we are evaluating that, but currently focused on where we see hypergrowth and where we are engaged at this time. But clearly, from a strategy standpoint, we look at adjacencies and overall continuum of what we can do. So we'll evaluate that as well.
Great. And just one last question, if I can put in. So, sir, what would be potentially a distinctive moat between us and our competitors when it comes to bidding for new orders? And I mean, what is our right to win against the others? And is there a potential risk from IT companies to also provide such a service? I just wanted to understand. I know definitely that we have that customer mix since a long time, but what differentiates us from the other, and how is the competitive intensity in this kind of industry?
Yes, I think I'll answer it in two, three parts. One, of course, you can grow from a growth perspective. There are three distinctive ways to grow. One, of course, participating in growth. So you just ride the bus because there's a growth happening. So see whether you can be at that growth level. Second, of course, you take share because you have to compete, and there's only 10% growth and you want to grow at 25%. So you have to take somebody else's share. That's the only way to grow. The third, of course, you can acquire, right? So if you look from up, keeping the acquisition separate, that's our separate goal. I think first let's look at what we can do to participate in growth, right? So when we talk about $400 billion worth of spend on that, 10% of that possibly is addressable from that perspective. That's about $40 billion. And we're trying to do about, say, $1 billion, just for argument's sake. I think ideas to getting considered and have the wherewithal to be able to be considered and bid, right? So these are not a competing bid that you can quote 5% less and win. That's not how hyperscalers operate. By that logic, anybody can quote 10% and want to win that. You have to win because you have capability, ability to spend, stay put, train, and so on and so forth, right? Those what we have built over the last several years' time, and therefore being considered. As we move forward, we believe that our push rate will be reducing and we'll have pull rate. So we are now getting invited more than we saw before because we executed several hundred megawatts, close to a gigawatt by now, right, to do that. So I think ability to execute at scale, ability to expand and train, these are the essential factors. This market did not exist 3, 4, 5 years ago. So therefore, execution at scale for anybody doesn't exist, right? It was largely operated by small mid-market players locally. It was a fiber world. So I think from that perspective, the number of players who can operate at scale are limited. The number of people who can, customer companies who can operate at scale and globally are even more limited. And from a perspective of where we are, we talked about possibly the only Indian company who has the ability to now do this at scale, right? So I think mode is one, mode is scale, mode is capability, mode is the relationship and execution already done. But more importantly, participating in that. Now coming to take share, I think from that perspective, will there be some competition? Of course, you can't be the only one playing. That's not going to happen. But I think we believe the right to win. As we move forward, continue to, it is evident from our order books. It will become more evident as we go forward. So a combination of what we have, an opportunity, ability to scale, as I told in my earnings call, only opportunity doesn't mean much. We believe we have built a very robust execution capability. So it's pretty simple if you look at construction in general, and if you look at Indian market, and if you're starting to build a very large construction, or a bridge or a dam, you know, only few people are invited to do that, right? And there are possibly 2,000 construction companies in India. Only because you know construction, you won't be constructing a dam. So that's pretty much how it works here, right? So we believe at our scale, ability to execute, our relationship over the last 2-3 years, our training, I think we are well placed to participate and win this massive once-in-a-lifetime infrastructure cycle. It is like the railroad of 1930s, right? So we ought to be there and put our head down and just make sure that we are able to execute better. And we are doing it.
Perfect, sir. That's helpful. Congratulations again and all the best for the future.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone. If you have any further questions, you can reach our investor relations head, Purvesh Pare, or SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Black Box Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.